The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
And then we had Eileen, who we kind of picked because we thought, you knows Irish football inside out, and then that'll do the job. And those kind of things aren't really what we need. We need a really, really good, strong coach.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster, and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Very welcome along to a very special night here at the 3 Olympia Theatre. Give a big Olympia Theatre welcome for Brian O'Driscoll.
Hello, hello, good evening.
Now, Brian gave us literally one job when we were booking the guest list for tonight. Brian's a nice guy, he'll get on with anybody, but he just told us, book anybody who I'm civil with, who I've got a decent relationship with. So we went out and we booked the one guy that Brian O'Driscoll has literally punched in the face several times. Austin Healy is backstage, everyone. That's a good reception, I think.
So Austin Healy, when you know you're going to go play against Austin Healy, you have a preconceived notion that he's going to be a bit of an arse. And he rarely, rarely disappoints. But over the last 10 years or so, and you're going to be disappointed to hear this, I've gotten to know him. And he's actually a pretty good sort. He's funny, his wife says. He's smart, his teachers don't say. But he also was a trailblazer. He was getting hair plugs way before it was cool to go to Turkey. And I have to say, and I truly believe this, he is one of the best commentators around. He sees the game brilliantly well, so I have to balance things up a little bit, okay? You can abuse him, but you got to give him a little bit of a lift, because he needs a lift. He's bloody tiny.
He is going to do his best to undo all of the nice things that have been said about him tonight, I think. Obviously, it is Ireland versus England week, and Brian, I was looking back to see what your relationship with the nation of England is like, and then I found this image online, which kind of says it all, to be quite honest. Brian O'Driscoll skips royal wedding in favour of Leinster training.
Actually, there was a Peter Kay gig in Dublin that night that I really wanted to go to as well.
Brian O'Driscoll, it turns out, when you drive through the internet and actually look through Google Images, it turns out Brian O'Driscoll will do anything not to shake the hand of a royal. Have a look at this. But obviously not as much as some of his teammates would do to avoid that handshake.
What people don't realize is it was absolutely freezing in Stormont that day. That's why Roger was keeping his hands warm in his pockets.
We've got an absolutely phenomenal show lined up for you, as I say. We do have Austin Healy here, side of stage. We've got Aoife Wafer coming on later on. And we've got a mega Six Nations preview with Alan Quinlan joining us on stage, as well as the Dream Team, as they're now known, of Andy Dunn and Gerry Thornley with us as well. So that's all coming up a little bit later on. Just want to say a quick word of thanks to the brilliant venue tonight, and of course to Bank of Ireland, who none of us would be here without tonight. They've done a brilliant job in helping us get this whole show together. So a big thank you to Bank of Ireland, proudly supporting Irish rugby. Never stop competing. Brian, you had one or two very successful days against England. Let's remind ourselves of the time when he scored three tries against England in 15 years, I think is the exact record.
Stinger, they still go blind. Oh, beautiful work by Jordan Murphy. Brian's goal! Ireland's leading try scorer puts one more on his tally, and Ireland are back.
Brutal dive.
O'Leary sees what's up next. It's O'Driscoll! Brian O'Driscoll!
I mean, that deserved World Player of the Year.
I was already concussed at that stage, so another knock, fine.
And we have one more.
Straightens the line, the offload doesn't go to hand, but it does go to O'Driscoll! Brian O'Driscoll breaks the record.
So, your record, three tries in 15 years against England, pretty good to be fair, but our first guest and I managed two tries in the first half of Brian O'Driscoll's first game against England. Have a look at this.
He's still looking to make the kick.
give it up for the humble Austin Healy. Lovely to meet you, Austin. You can take a seat right here.
What a shite introduction that was.
Where do you want
to... Ryan, do you want to sit down here beside me? We'll stick together.
Hi, everyone. This is the first public lynching I've been to for a while.
Austin, that day in 2000, tell us about this. It was your first time playing against Brian O'Driscoll in your country's colours anyway. How satisfying? Let's get the good stuff out of the way, first of all. How satisfying was that particular afternoon for you?
What, you mean we're going to get to some bad stuff after this?
We'll see.
Well, I didn't really know who he was. No one did at that stage, did they? I mean, he's obviously had a reasonable career since then. But on that day, it's just another... I mean, you looking back on some of those old pictures, you resemble... Remember those Cabbage Patch Kids you used to get? Like, if they brought out a Cabbage Patch version of you, it would look like any of your pictures with the blonde hair.
Your first appearance as well, when we talk about debuts in the Six Nations, came in Dublin. Yep. And this is the place where you began your Six Nations career. 1997, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was strange, really, because in 96, I got asked to play for Ireland. And I very nearly made that decision. And if I had, you know, we wouldn't know who Peter Stringer was. He just looked like, he looked like a small Harry Hill. So, and I was very, very close to wearing the green shirt. I phoned my dad, and my dad asked me one question, and he said, if you were stood in the Ireland dressing room and you were playing England, and they got in the huddle and the captain said, let's get stuck in and smash these English expletives, could you say that? And I said, I couldn't say it. He said, well, you've answered your own question. You can't go and play for Ireland.
That's actually a pity, because we really badly needed a good utility back in the late 90s.
You did? Well, would you have heard of Roger then? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he was good, but he was behind me on the Lions tour, and I wasn't even a fly off.
He was only behind you in your column.
We will get to that column before this conversation is out, and I think everybody here wants to hear a little bit about the 2001 Lions. It's just a fascinating tour, both of you on this. I do want to play a clip from the documentary Lions Up Close and Personal from 2001. This is from the very first 45 seconds of the documentary, so if anybody was under any illusions about what the relationship was between Austin Healy and the head coach, well, have a look at this.
We had 50 people on tour, and the vast majority were totally committed to the tour and gave it their best shot. One or two didn't, which was disappointing.
I actually wanted to play for the shirt more than I did for him.
So, you and Graham Henry, Austin, describe the relationship.
Oh, I mean, he's just a massive bell end. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it, can you? He is. He's just a knob. And, yeah, I know it's strange, but I was a footballer growing up. I wasn't really a rugby player until I got to 17 and got released by Everton, and then I went into playing rugby a bit more seriously. So I didn't have that history of the Lions. It didn't really mean that much to me. I actually would have rather played for Ireland than I would have rather played for the Lions. And I went on the tour because you got free kit, and... being a Scouser, you know, I like selling free shit. So, yeah. 97, I think, saved the Lions as a concept, but I think the concept has lost its way. You know, you look at the tours now, and there's 60 backroom staff, and they're going off for 3 hours to sit in a Land Rover and drive with some of the Land Rover's customers. I mean, you'll have done it. You've got a free Land Rover off the back of it. Well done. But I just like buying my cars because you get to pick the colour. And you were saying you've got that shitty green one that you don't like.
He actually drives a Cinquecento. It feels like a Rolls Royce to him.
So yeah, look, when we went in '97, it was an amazing tour. It was all about the rugby, and that's really why I didn't like 2001, because it wasn't really like that. And the tour split very early, and then Matt Dawson came out with that disgusting column. And I just thought, well, I've got to beat it. So, yeah, that was the line. So, I mean, it's not the favourite part of my career.
Do you want to put the other side of the Graham Henry story out there? Brian, obviously, you got picked by Graham Henry for the tests in these situations. To be fair, Austin, you were picked for the last test as well, to be fair.
There was literally nobody left at that stage. And Andy Nicol had been away, had been on, with the travelling party. He'd gone on the piss for like 18 consecutive days, and he was asked, do you have a pair of boots? Well, I didn't bring my boots with me. Well, we'll give you Austin's boots. They'll be a bit tight in you, but we need you. And he was literally rolled out to sit on the bench for that final game. Thankfully, he wasn't called upon, but that was how nuts it was. That stuff doesn't happen anymore, where you've always got backup to backup. It just shows that the time that it was that you're calling someone that's been out on a jolly to come in to be a lion. It's gone to a completely different stratosphere, as Austin said, but that was a strange tour. It was my first tour. I was very young, 22 years of age. And you're just a sponge. You try and take in as much as you possibly can. You're watching all of these legends that had won in 97, not present company excluded. But like Martin Johnson and Lawrence Dallaglio and all of these guys, and you're literally looking to see their professionalism, their detail of training. Johnny Wilkinson, who was the youngest player on the tour, was arguably the most professional. I was just literally watching his every movement around how you can make yourself a little bit better. So the one thing about Lions tours, whether you're successful or not on them, or whether you've made the test team, you come back a vastly different person and a much better professional as a result of it. And we lost the series. It was a series we should have won in two tests rather than in three. And ultimately, it's a disappointment, but you come back and go, right, well, that's where all the English team are at. We need to completely increase our professionalism to the next level if we want to compete with them.
And there was obviously a coterie of Irish players who were all getting that experience for the first time. Ronan O'Gara, obviously, one of them on that tour as well. We should chat about the Waratahs game in 2001. When you watch the documentary, one of the most prominent figures in it is Donal Lenihan, who's actually brilliant, it seems, on that tour. But the camera cuts to him after you score a try early in the game, Brian, and somebody puts in a late hit on you after you score, and he's like, oh, you effer, stay away from him. And there was this Donal Lenihan protection of the Irish lads on tour. But you got an experience early in that game of just what level the violence could get to.
Yeah, listen, they were sent out, what was it, 10 days before the first test. They were sent out, no doubt, from the opening kickoff, they came running into, I think Danny Grewcock was claiming the kickoff, and they just started laying into anyone in the vicinity of where the ball was landing. And it kind of went from there. It was a very, very physical test match. The Australian teams aren't really notorious for being excessively physical or dirty, but this group really was, and they were trying to get stuck into us at every turn, with the potential to take out one or two test players, perhaps. So when that Duncan McRae scenario happened with Rog, it was so over the top. The reaction to what Rog had done, tried to clear him out of a ruck, and whatever, he laid into him with 15 odd digs, broke, fractured his cheekbone or was it his sinus? And it just didn't, the crime didn't finish, didn't fit the punishment.
What was your recollection of that moment, Austin?
Good punch.
And then what about the second punch?
In all seriousness, I was on the bench, don't know why, and when McRae walked past, he had to walk past all the bench, and the lads were on top throwing all the bottles at him. You might not have seen this, but everybody who wasn't involved in the game was chucking the Lucozade bottles at him, which was a good retribution, but not as good as Martin Johnson. So we get back, he signs for Saracens, our second game of the season, Leicester Tigers at Welford Road. McRae's playing fly half. Jono knee drops him and breaks three of his ribs. I don't know if any of you remember this. You will have seen it. I definitely saw it because he was squealing like a pig on the floor. Right. And he couldn't get his breath. And I went over and went, is it a boy or a girl? So he got stretched it off and he won't hit Roger again, will he?
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
I think we're getting to the point now where we have to go into the myth, don't we? We have to look. I heard you in the introduction, and you know, I've got to clear this up for a lot of people here, mainly because I know it's being filmed and the truth needs to come out eventually.
Chatham House rules are suddenly over.
Yeah, fuck those rules. This is the truth. So a lot of you may think I'm some kind of public schoolboy, but I'm not. I grew up in Birkenhead, which basically it's like Ballymun, but if Ballymun was Barbados, that's what Birkenhead looks like. My dad was the only person in our street who had a job, and he only had a job because he was self-employed, right? So I've come from a very, very hard background. I went to a school called Borstal in England, which is a correctional facility. Admittedly, now I'm exceptionally wealthy and I've forgotten my roots, but... the reality of the story is, we were playing Red Arse, which is a table tennis game before a team meeting, and somebody, for some reason, brought out some boxing gloves, and Dricko fancies himself, obviously, more ways than one. puts the gloves on and goes, who wants a fight? And I went, I'll have a fight with you. So as I'm getting the gloves on, he cheap shots me. Fair enough. Fair play. And then I'm just sizing him up, like, you know when you're fighting with your kids? So...
Austin has four daughters, by the way. That says a lot about the man.
So you're fighting with your kids, so I'm just getting his range. I'm just letting him jab me on the top of the head, the top of the head, top of the head. At which stage, Graham Henry walks in and goes, guys, stop all that, team meeting starts. That has changed, right, into Dricko put me in hospital for beating up Roger after a game of table tennis. And it has morphed into this unbelievable urban myth, so much so, right, that I thought I'd find out how bad it is that people relate to it. So before I came on, I just went on Twitter, which is a wonderful forum for intelligent individuals, and I just typed in my name and Dricko, right, and this is how irrelevant it gets. So if you permit me, sorry, but this is a bit self-indulgent, I'll just read you a few of those wonderful quotes, and you can see why it's completely not relevant. This is in November 2022. Apologies to all my Welsh friends. I was busy yesterday. I just wanted to check that you were all okay. Please stay positive. I think you've got Portugal next week, so that could lead you to returning to winning ways. To which I get back from a gentleman called... I can't find his name now. What is his name?
A lot of replies.
I can't find his name. Here we go.
Welsh people you're scrolling through.
His name's Boosh. Shush, or I'll tell Dricko to bang the head off you again. That's the first one. It gets much worse and far more irrelevant. I like the look of this England team. Again, 2023, I think, before we played Ireland in 2 years ago here. Law's back. Looking forward to seeing him in the line-out. I hope the forwards can perform. Looking forward to watch Lawrence. Hope he has a big game and gets a run. Mind yourself, you prick. Dricko put you in a box once. That smug guy called Mick McGee. Next one, also one of my favourites. Didn't Wales do well? Hey, Austin, you're a dickhead. No wonder Dricko beat the shite out of you. That's from Gregory. And then I've got two more. These are my two favourites. Understandable. This is from Darragh. Is it D-A-R-A-G-H? Is that Darragh?
It's Dara.
Dara. His surname's Oh What a Bell End. understandable that Austin Healey should have such little regard for experts, given that BT are under the impression he is one on rugby. Fair play. Good point. You're absolutely spot on, Darren. I know nothing about anything, but you, on the other hand, are a fountain of all knowledge. That's why so many read your work. Oh, hang on, they will one day if you keep trolling famous people like me. Where's Dricko to box the head off you? And this is the final one, because we could literally go on all night and for about a month.
That'll be a good show.
This is February the 6th, 2018. My personal favourite. To the person who left a dog poo bag full of poo on the gate of my house, that my daughters used to come home from school through. Do it again, but the next time, pray that I'm not watching. Really? This from a fella that got bitch slapped by Dricko? That was from a man called Pat Ryan. He's a serial. He comes back time and time again, regardless. Pat. Yes. Old Paddy. Yeah, so, you know, thanks for having me.
Brian. Do you want to hear the real version?
I think it is time to get the real version.
Okay, so what happened was there was a big group of us in the team room, and there's always extra boxing gloves for additional conditioning stored in the team room of any team hotel. So that was the case then. I think we were in Manly. Rog had just come back in from seeing the specialist. He'd had his eye all stitched up. Anyway, Austin decides to go over and put on these gloves, and he goes over to Rog and he goes, fancy a dig, do you want a knock-up? And then he gives him a few nudges, and he goes, oh, is it too soon? And it was one of those, like, ooh, it is too soon. And Rog is my friend, and I said, I'll have a go, Austin, I'll have a crack. So the funny thing was, the biggest excitement at the prospect of Austin getting the head knocked off him was from the English lads. Right? I've never seen anticipation quite like it, right? Like, within a millisecond, they'd formed a ring, right? And, like, I'm getting my shoulders massaged, and, you know, some of his closest friends, Will Greenwood, is literally, like, got a bottle of water and he's squirting it down. Anyway, I don't actually know what happened, but my inner Manny Pacquiao came out, right? And I actually just started landing combinations. Now, obviously, I had a massive reach advantage. I was throwing all my punches down, so he was gonna be up against it. But, you know, I landed 8-10 combinations, and then I did realize, okay, I've been a little bit fortunate. So I thought, I better call it quits here before he might actually land one. I did give you that credit, at least. So I said, listen, Austin, I'm going to have to leave it there because I can't have you going out playing against the ACT Waratahs looking like Rog next weekend. So I'm going to leave it there, at which time the white towel was thrown in. And landed on top of him to the most rapturous of cheers from his English teammates, amongst others.
What happened to the stretcher in the hospital that is now part of the myth? I mean, the tour was, for some reasons, the tour was good. We made a lot of good friends there. There was a lot of, the squad got galvanized on numerous occasions, but my favorite part of the tour was how good my last night out was. So, I don't know if you have. Obviously, we're in Dublin, so this is a stupid question. Have you ever been out on a big night? I mean, is it Monday? Yeah, let's go. But I bet none of you have ever woken up in Fiji. Now, you may think this is bullshit, but this is gospel truth, right? Literally, following day, I'm in Fiji. You don't believe me, do you? So the story was, I'd had a problem with my back. I went surfing in Manly and stupidly hurt my back. We'll get to the column. I went to hospital. I was having an injection, an X-ray guided injection to get this disc back in my back. At that point, Eddie Butler phones me and says, we're writing your column. I just said to him, write whatever you want. That was a mistake. Get to the morning of the game. My back's okay. I walk down the stairs. The disc slips out again. I'm done. So I go to the doctor, he can now give you the proper drug. So I'm taking Valium. He's given me a whole sheet of Valium, and I was in a lot of pain, so I took most of the sheet. And then I got to the game, and I was watching the game, and you know those 2-litre bottles of Lucozade? Well, that was full of red wine. And I did 4 of them. So now I've mixed red wine with Valium. We go out afterwards. I go up to George Gregan after the game. He's reminded me of this recently, and I said, who won, mate? And he was anyway. So we go out, I've still got my blazer on, they've ripped my sleeve off my blazer and the sleeve off my shirt, and I sit all night in the establishment arm wrestling anyone that would come over for €100. I've never ever lost an arm wrestle. So keep banging people down. Matt Dawson's building up a pot of cash. He's brokering the whole situation. At which stage, there's probably, I don't know, $2,000 there, beating 20 or so. And this massive meathead comes over and goes, double or quits. I'm like, okay, fine. He puts $2,000 down, bang his arm down. He punches me in the face. Scott Quinnell picks him up, throws him into the wall. The next thing, Fiji. And I looked over, my wife's pregnant, sat next to me. I'm like, she was like, you dickhead. I said, where are we? She said, we're in Suva. I was like, why am I strapped to the chair? So I'd no recollection of going to the airport, getting on the plane. The Valium had obviously kicked in. I slept for 14 hours, and we were now waiting in transit with my new mate, Martin Johnson, who was up front and I was at the back, in Fiji. And that's a proper rugby tour for you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But Matt Dawson's got $4,000.
It's ongoing, and if everyone looks at it online, I mean, you do have an unbelievable record when it comes to your arm wrestling, so I'm not surprised. But we should talk about the column that was published on the eve of the third test in the Lions. So it's Lions 1, Australia 1, pretty big game, the third test. Let's actually play one more clip from up close and personal with the Lions. So these are the pre-match thoughts of the head coaches before the third test.
This is going to be a very special game, great occasion. I'd like to thank Austin Healer for his kind words today.
I was out of my control straight away because I didn't say it. I'm still responsible to the fact that it was my column. Normally I would check all the columns, but unfortunately for me I had a bulging disc in my back. But my name's on the column, I'm responsible for it, but I should have checked it.
I always think you never give the opposition a team talk. That's been done. I think Austin thought that he might upset them a wee bit and take their mind off the game, but I don't think he knows the Australian animal very well.
So I'm aware that people may not be fully au fait with the column. It was Eddie Butler, who sadly is not with us anymore, who was your ghostwriter. And I must say, it's one of the greatest things I've ever read. It's a phenomenal piece. Obviously, you had a bit of fear when you wake up in Fiji and you realise what you've done, but I'm sure at the time you get a bit of a giggle out of it, no?
Did Graham Henry sound really nasal to you on that? It did to me. I generally knew nothing about it. As I said, I was in hospital, had the jab, stayed there for 4 or 5 hours, let it calm down, and then went back to the hotel, got on the Valium, on the red wine, got off in Fiji, so my phone didn't work. Went to Maui with Jono, my phone didn't work. Then I went to see Dave Lockheed in Canada on a little lake house, phone didn't work. Used his phone to phone my dad. And my dad was like, are you okay? I was like, why? He said, well, you've lost the Lions, the test series. I went, did I play? And it wasn't until I got back that obviously there was a huge furore about everything. But I, to be fair, at that point, I'd just signed a contract with Advanced Hair Studios for a load of dough, so I couldn't give a shit. And I had new hair, so it was great. What was the question?
So,
No, I know. In all seriousness, I got back and they said, right, there's a disciplinary hearing. So I read the contract for the first time and...
The disciplinary hearing was here.
It was here, yeah.
And it was you on one side of the table. It was Donal Lenihan, Martin Johnson and Graham Henry on the other side.
Who I'd just been on holiday with. Yeah, so it was crazy. So I walked in and I said to Dino, I've read the contract. Have you read it? He said, yes. Yeah. Have you noticed the main problem they've got? This is true. He said, no. I said, have you seen the end date of the contract? He said, no. When was it? I said, it was yesterday. So there's no jurisdiction here at all. So I went in and we sat down. He went, you brought the game into just your period. I said, guys, before we start, I'm no lawyer, right? But I've read the contract and this is a waste of time. So do whatever you want. I don't really give a shit. And so I left and Dino said, don't say anything about that. They fined me £5,000. I kept getting legal letters from an Irish lawyer for about 18 months after that. I kept writing back, see you in court, nothing happened. I then snapped my knee, go and live with a witch doctor in America for 6 weeks. It's a long story, I'll get to the end soon. Come back, the day I land, my wife's pregnant again, so she's been at home pregnant with a toddler and she's pregnant. The day after I land, Clive Woodward phones me and says, I need to pick you for the World Cup squad, but I can't pick you unless you pay the £5,000 fine. I said, why? How's that relevant? He said, well, Bill Bowman's phoned me, and he said, if you don't pay it, I can't go for England. I said, listen, Clive, I don't owe it. It's not legal, but I'll pay it just to keep everything sweet. Paid the $5,000, didn't pick me.
Austin, I think I speak for everybody in the audience when I say this. We would love you to read the column for us tonight. I think we would love
really?
That, wouldn't we?
I don't think I've ever actually read it.
Well, I've got a printout for you right here.
Well, I hadn't memorized it.
Well, I think we've got some dramatic music, maybe some dramatic lighting as well for Austin Healy to finally give us a rendition of the iconic Guardian article. Austin Healy featuring Eddie Butler.
This reminds me of when I auditioned for Chicago. I don't care about expensive things. Anyway, sit down. Why did I agree to do this? They call me one of the troublemakers, Matt Dawson and me, the lip machines. Matt says this, I say that. What's going on? Anything we say comes back to this back end of the world with a whole lot of spin. Well, spin this, you Aussies, up yours. Is that enough to get you into the Sydney Morning Sun, Telegraph, Herald, load of shite? Wow. If ever I wanted to do something, it was beat you lot. There, that's better. Now calm down, Ozza. I think I might have been in with a shout of a place for the second test, but then I was injured in the ACT game. Something else I have to thank my mate Justin Harrison for. My old pal, the plod, from the second row. And what do you know? He's in the team to face us, me and the plank. Do you think one of us will have the final say? I'll say so. Do I have to do the whole thing?
You're almost there.
Short column. Did I say the weather has been crap? Just another Australian thing to get up your nose? Well, it was with this country. The females and the children are fine. They seem to be perfectly normal human beings. But what are we going to do with this thing called the Aussie male? Look, it got so bad I found myself agreeing with Graham Henry the other day. He said he didn't mind them being the best in the world at this or that. But why? See, it's so long the music stopped.
You're on my, I think that is the last paragraph, to be fair.
Why do they have to rub our faces in the whole time? It doesn't half make you want to beat them. I tell you, I don't even know where Croatia is exactly. But I did cheer for old Goran, even east of whatever his face was, in the Wimbledon final. Come on, you Balkans. And then the Aussies built Pat Rafter into this superhero loser. What is this place like? Here I am on the wing. Maybe it's my turn to say something and be sent home. Like, here's to stuffing it up, you so-called macho jacksy. What? I'm out of here.
We got there in the end. Thank you.
I'll say the Chicago audition went just as well.
Did you ever discuss that with Eddie Butler?
What?
The column.
Yeah. He wrote a fake legal letter in for the case here from a fake law firm. It was brilliant. He did. He was such a good bloke, Eddie. Really great bloke.
He was phenomenal. We've had the privilege of having him on the show. Just a brilliant writer, brilliant broadcaster. Just one last thing before we get our next guest on. Have you ever had a situation where you've riled up your future opponent with a column that you've written?
No, but I remember playing England in 2004. They'd won the World Cup, and...
Well, I actually have that column printed off as well, but due to the fact that how long that took, I'm not sure if it's...
No, but I did, in a press conference, I don't know about columns, but in a press conference...
Well, this one, BBC Sport, we are fired up by Brian O'Driscoll, Wednesday the 3rd of March 2004. Hopefully, we can give the Prawn Sandwich Brigade at Twickenham something to choke on.
Yeah. So the back...
Pretty good.
The story was that Roy Keane had said it like a month beforehand about corporates in Old Trafford there. He was disappointed with the quality of the crowd and so wasn't real fans. And I thought I would copy it, like taking the mick a little bit. And Clive Woodward didn't find it funny. And anyway, there was a big conversation around it. Clive said, I wish teams would learn to keep their mouth shut when they come to Twickenham. And I thought, uh-oh. And anyway, the first rook, Lawrence Dallaglio, also wasn't happy, I found, as he was laying a bunch of fives into my head at the bottom of a rook. And he didn't really say anything. And I just thought, try not be too clever in the future. So, yeah. Lesson learned.
Woodward's response was, I don't eat prawn sandwiches, actually, Brian. I prefer chicken and tomato. And if anybody's seen that Charlie Nicholas comeback on Soccer Saturday about Specsavers, that's basically Clive Woodward's response to Brian O'Driscoll. It's been really interesting. We've got loads more to get into with Austin Healey a little bit later on. You're going to be joining us back here for our Six Nations preview. We're going to have Alan Quinlan and Andy Dunn and Gerry Thornley, so I dare say there's going to be more stories later on. But in the meantime, give it up for Austin Healey, everyone.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.